really want to thank the Hudson Valley Council band here. I think they've just done a wonderful job for us, and I must say I'm terribly impressed. I expected a couple of musicians here, and we have a full concert band. So thank you all for your musicianship, for your being here and willing to participate, and we're just grateful for all of you. Thank you again. This is a great day for the East Fishkill Historical Society. I'm David Bushy. I'm the president of the Historical Society, and we'll make a couple of introductions here. But we are going to keep this this service short because, in fact, rain somewhat imperils us, and we don't want to get caught in it. So we will not be dragging this out too long, and I'm sure you're all probably relieved to hear that. The historic house, schoolhouse that we have here, and you've all seen the exterior, is a remarkable achievement for which a couple of mentions are necessary. Malcolm Mills, the director of the society, standing here in the corner, the director, developed a vision for that schoolhouse. If you will remember it, on the corner of Beekman Road and the Taconic exit ramp as you head north, it was a terrible derelict structure. It had been vandalized. It was sagging in, actually falling in on itself. And Malcolm wanted to save it. And the Board of Trustees has supported that, as has the town of East Fishkill, with funds and labor. And so this has been truly a joint effort. I would refer you to the program, which lists the names of many of the people who made significant contributions along the way. And we are grateful for all of them and their participation, because without that, we wouldn't be here today celebrating the salvation of a house, that schoolhouse that has served the community for more than a century and a half, and is now, we hope, permanently here on this site for children to visit. And the main purpose of having this here is, of course, to preserve our history. And you'll be hearing a little bit about what we hope to do with that, but our vision is to have school groups come here and tour it and see what the previous generations did experience in their education. I think at this point we will have the raising of the flag. The flag is in back of us here, and I will lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all, and you may be seated.
Oh, Thank you, Lucinda. Lucinda was the president of the Historical Society about five or six years ago, and we're delighted to see her back today. And delighted to hear her sing, as somebody said. David said that it was going to be a fairly short program. Well, I've only got two books to read you. And my wife said, try and keep it short. So this is just a brief history, anyway, of the one-room schoolhouses in this area. The first towns that were settled in Dutchess County were Rhinebeck and Fishkill. And that was probably because of the development of the churches. The Dutch put the churches at the center of their activities. And so it was the Domini or the preacher who also became the first teacher with particular emphasis on religion. The teaching was done in the church itself or in a building attached to the church or in the church grounds. And probably those early lessons were taught in Dutch. These church schools were the only schools on Dutchess County until shortly before the Revolution. Some churches established what they called academies, and they were really the equivalent of the high school of today. There was one in Fishkill. Now, you have to remember that East Fishkill was part of Fishkill up until 1849. And so I think we can certainly include the Fishkill Academy in a school in our town. It was run by Reverend Chauncey Graham, who was the English pastor at the Presbyterian Church, which was at Blinkerhof. Now, the church was burned down in around 1860, but you will see a historic sign as you drive along 52 just before you go into Fishkill itself, celebrating where the academy was. However, around 1760, people began to get the notion that education should be received outside the church. The Revolution finally brought this idea into reality with the separation of church and state. Nevertheless, some small non-church schools did exist before the Revolution in Dutchess County. We know that students were taught to read, write, and to reckon in Dutch and English money. Now, if any of you know anything about English money, that was quite a mental exercise at that time. However, there are very few records of where these schools actually existed. We have a document dated December 27, 1760, for a Hopewell school, which references a school, and let me just briefly read a couple of things from that. The spelling was a cross between English and Dutch, and it says, then were the subscribers agreed to hire, H-Y-E-R, a schoolmaster to teach an English, I-N-G-L-I-S-H, school, S-C-H-O-U-L-E, to read, write, and cipher for one whole year. And cipher is arithmetic. For a sum of £38 for the year. I don't think many teachers would take a salary of £38 a year, even if you convert it into dollars, which makes it around $76 a year. But this is quite interesting. Each child subscribed for shall pay an equal share, and each child subscribed for shall draw an equal share of the benefits of the night school, and income scholars, in other words, day school and night school. And if any of the scholars subscribed for should die, D-Y-E, and the subscriber could not mark up another in the steed, then all the scholars to bear an equal burden of the dead scholar or scholars. And every scholar to bring, now this is the interesting part, every scholar to bring an equal share of firewood for the scholars, he described for, to supply the school with firewood until which we enchantingly set our hands and numbers of scholars on order to be sought, S-O-T, I don't know quite what that means. But the names, anyway, were names you'll be familiar with today. There were Abraham Adrians, he had two children, Henry Wiltsey had two children, Isaac Adrians, experience had 2.5. I don't know where the half came from. Gore Storm had one scholar. Garrett Storm had 3 scholars. Terry Emock had 2 scholars. And Joseph Horton, again another very familiar name, had 2 scholars. And Johannes Wiltsy had, this is where the other half came in, he had 1.5 scholars. So I don't know what the significance of that was.
But
anyway, there is another deed which is in the records in Poughkeepsie, and that's dated 1795, which mentions 2 schoolhouses east of Hopewell Church, probably at Upper Hopewell. And the question is, could one of these schoolhouses have been our schoolhouse? Probably not, but we don't know for sure. We believe our schoolhouse was built around 1820, although I must admit that some of the original construction techniques, the hand-riven laths and the hand-hewn beams, indicate that it could have been even a little earlier. But it wasn't until 1795 that Governor George Clinton introduced the first law encouraging public education in New York. This became the Act for the Encouragement of Schools and introduced the state system of aid to schools. Now, at that time in 1795, there was £2,100, they were still using the English currency at that time, for all of Dutchess County. Of which Fishkill, remember Fishkill and East Fishkill were all combined at that time, received £267, 12 shillings and 3 pence. Now we move 50 years forward to around 1849, when East Fishkill was granted a separate charter and was no longer part of Fishkill. And according to the maps of that time, in 1867, the town had actually been divided into 14 separate school districts. District number 1 was in Fishkill Plains, and number 14 was at Johnsville. The locations of the schools were determined so as to be within easy walking distance of its students. We have recorded, the society has recorded, several history interviews with students who attended these one-room schools, and not one complained about having to walk to school. As Wilson Donahue, class of 1923, schoolhouse number 9, said, there were no snow days. If the teacher could get to school, you had to be there. And Louise Palin, who was one of the last of the families to live in this house behind you, the farmhouse, we interviewed her in 1978, and she told us that she often rode her horse to school, and that school was in Johnsville. And she used to leave him parked outside, tied up, and then she'd ride him home in the afternoon. All remains, unfortunately, of that Johnsville schoolhouse are photographs, and it was a later construction than our house, than our schoolhouse. However, it did have a very impressive bell tower. And so we hope that one of these days we will be able to restore the bell tower that was on this schoolhouse. And somebody was talking earlier about why is it schoolhouses all seem the same size? Did they work with Sears plans? Well, Sears wasn't around at that time, but certainly they seem to work with one symbol or single plan. A lady called me up the other month and said, I think I'm living in a schoolhouse. So I said, well, where do you live? And she told me, and I've driven past that place 1,000 times. And I thought, I don't remember seeing a schoolhouse there. So then I said, well, what are the dimensions of the floor plan? She said, 24 feet by 32 feet. I said, it's a schoolhouse, which is exactly the same as this one. Now, of the 14 schools, quite a few still remain. Fishkill Plains School is a private home. Again, you've probably all driven past it. It's in the junction of Hillside Lake and Creamery Road. Stormville Schoolhouse is still in existence. It's just alongside the railroad track. It's a private residence. an East Hook Wickopee schoolhouse. That's on the Morgenthau property, and that's a private residence now. Gayhead number 3, which is on the corner of Blue Hill Road and 52, is a house. It was lived in by our present supervisor's father, John Hickman, for a number of years. And there's a joint number 3 schoolhouse, which is just around the corner in Hosner Mountain Road. And of course, you're all probably familiar with Rand Manning's office on Route 52 just before the Taconic. That also was a schoolhouse. We're therefore very fortunate that through the efforts of many people, we have been able to save Old Hopewell Schoolhouse number 9. This one-room school served the community from the early 1800s until it finally closed in 1956. How many countless children have received their education within these walls? And it's not easy, I'm sure, for the present generation to imagine that one teacher simultaneously was teaching grades 1 through 8 in the same room. The teachers probably had, in the very early stages, the teachers were sort of itinerants. They would come round, and part of their benefit was free board. And so they would stay, if there were 3 children in the family going to the school, they would stay with that family probably for 3 weeks, then 2 weeks for another, and then 1 week. There's a very interesting piece in a book called Old Johnsville, and I won't read it to you, but tells of when the schoolmaster used to come into the family, and the elder daughter would start making herself up and prettying herself up, because it was great entertainment to have a charming young man coming and staying with you. On the other hand, there's also a story in there about one teacher who tried to get a job. He really couldn't write, and so he came to see somebody here in Johnsville, what the local squire, and the squire said, well, I'd like to see an example of your writing, and he showed it to him, and he said that he wasn't very well educated, the squire, but he said, that's strange writing. And the fellow was sharp enough to say, well, that's a new style that we're introducing. It took him about 3 weeks. Oh, and then he said, well, how's your arithmetic? Oh, he said, pretty good. So he said, how many shingles do you think should be on that roof? And he looked on the roof and had no idea. And he said, oh, 100,000. And there was a long silence. And he realized that was not a very good answer. So he chopped it down by 10 and said, oh, I'm sorry, I should have dropped a zero off the end. I think 10,000. And the squire was quite impressed, because that's also what he had estimated it would be. So the fellow got a job for a short time, but he was eventually thrown out. Okay, I guess I have to translate. Johnsville is now known as Wickopee. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry. It became part of Wickopee. This is the Johnsville type area is around Fishkill Hook Road and 52, and where the Methodist Church is. And it was named after when they had established a post office there. They had to find a name for it, and I guess Mr. Johnson was the postmaster, so they called it Johnsville. And we have some Johnsville people here, I know. And we are trying very hard, little plug to the town, we are trying very hard to get that established as a historic district. Unfortunately, 3 of my papers blew away, but the one-room schoolhouse is almost a thing of the past, but not completely. I'm sure that those of you who attended them, and I know there are a number of you here today, look back with more than nostalgia, for it was a very successful period in education. Most students that you meet today that went to one-room schoolhouse have a very, very neat writing hand. They can spell much better than I can, and they do not require a calculator to give change. And when you consider that they had to, in the early days anyway, learn the English currency, where if you had 1 shilling and 10 pence, and somebody then gave you 1 shilling and 8 pence, that wasn't 2 shillings and 18 pence, it was 3 shillings and 6 pence. So you can work that one out. But we had the school books in there, and they were the sort of questions that the students had to answer when they were doing their cipher or arithmetic. Anyway, we do still have one two-room schoolhouse in the town, and that's at Shenandoah Corners. And I think we probably have maybe the teacher here today, I'm not sure. But they do a remarkable job of teaching the children there. I don't know that they go to 1 through 8, but I know they go 1 through 5 or 6. Anyway, I've kept you long enough. Let me hand over to our schoolmaster, and he will start to educate you correctly now.
Welcome. As the present-day schoolmaster of Upper Hopewell School Number 9, I'd like to welcome everybody. And I think the most pleasant thing for me is to see all of the former students that are here today. And when Malcolm was talking about the firewood, I personally attended a one-room schoolhouse up in Vermont when I was younger, and that was one of the requirements there. Every family that had a student in school had to bring one cord of firewood. And the potbelly stove served many purposes, including toasting your lunch sandwich, particularly in the winter. And I never missed school because I lived next door to the school ma'am, and she brought me to school. Mrs. White made sure I made it to school. And I'd like to introduce two other people. It's my wife, Pat, and Celeste, who will be working with us, and hopefully some of you, in the future. And I just kind of mentioned that. We're looking forward to local school groups coming to visit the schoolhouse, the farmhouse, and the carriage barn. And we are in the process of moving an ice house to the property over to my left. It's, again, an old ice house that's here in town, and provisions have been made to move in. So when the students do get here, there will be a lot for them. We also plan to meet with teachers to formulate lessons that will coordinate their classroom work with what we have to offer here. And we think this is an excellent opportunity for students to learn local history and the history of farming in this part of the state. Most people don't realize that this was the major farming area for this area, and particularly New York City, and we're close enough to river to take advantage of shipping. So if, you know, and also if any of you are interested in volunteering your time and talent, we would be more than glad, and please see one of us, and it is not necessary that you be a teacher, because being a former school teacher, I unfortunately have come into contact with people who knew so much more than I did who weren't teachers. So please do not say, oh, I can't do it. I've never stood in front of a group of students. Believe me, it's not that hard. You'll love it. That's the one thing I miss about not teaching: the students. And if you come and volunteer, you'll find the same thing, I'm sure. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Addison. And it is through good people like this that we're going to get our school program going. And that is part of the charter of the Historical Society, that you do provide educational visits for school children. Next on the agenda, we have, I was hoping that some students would, who attended this school would stand up and say a few words. I asked Lynn about it. She's not going to stand up, she says. But I've met Lynn. She lives over in Socrates now. Her mother was a teacher at the school. And at the time, Lynn was attending it, and she told me a few months back what was so strange. When she went to school, she had to refer to her mother as Mrs. Dutcher, so when she got home, she was Mum. So, I mean, that was an interesting little observation. Lynn, you sure you won't come up?
Why don't you get everybody here?
All right, well, let's start by, put your hands up, all those that went to a one-room schoolhouse.
Because I know there's other people here.
Okay. Come on then, come up here and don't be afraid or... Come on then.
I'm not afraid, I just...
No, okay.
Well,
come on. Who would like to come up and just tell us a little of their experience in the schoolhouse?
I can just tell you one thing.
Okay.
Her mom, when you went to school, that's what you were there for. To go to school now. And she did not cut Carol or Linda or Dean any more slack than she cut us.
Same thing.
And that's Charlie Grill at the back there.
Oh, that's who that is?
Yeah, you don't recognize him?
No, yes.
Charlie, when did you go there?
1950, I started.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll probably recognize part of the inside, but we do have a potbelly stove now. We don't have the furnace that I think was there when...
Kerosene.
And, of course, they didn't have the inside privies that they had when you went to the school there. When it was first built, they had them outside, and they would have been over there on the right-hand side of the schoolhouse.
Right,
this lady here is going to come up.
No, I remember when Linda's mother was a teacher. My mother was a trustee.
Who was your
Margaret
mother?
Maureen?
I'm Maureen.
I'm Pat.
And you're Pat?
Right.
Oh, God. Hi, guys. We haven't seen each other 50 years. Yeah, her mother was a trustee.
That's right.
My father was a janitor.
That's right.
Was your dad on the board?
No. I don't think so. It's my mom.
It's your mother.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think Mrs. McCune was a teacher before your mother.
Yes, she was the one that taught us. Yeah, for 1 year.
And the last teacher you said was Mrs. Gregory?
Mrs. Gregory. I'm pretty sure my sister said it was Mrs.
Yeah, I think Charlie said
it. I forgot whether it was Gregory.
Yes, sir.
I'm depending on my sister.
It was Mrs. Gregory.
Gregory, yeah.
Yes, sir.
You're going to
call our
acquaintance with my sister.
Oh, okay.
But I did attend school.
Oh, you did?
Another one that went.
And your name is?
It was Betty Tui.
Betty Tui, okay.
And I'm her brother, Mark.
Okay. Would you like to just tell us about your experience? Come on.
Well, you were.
Well, you don't have to be.
You never did go. Did you pass? Didn't your parents leave there after you?
No, I went there.
There's a lady in the back.
I came up from Long Island to Wapentake Falls on Route 9 in 1935, and I went to the Fowler House, one room school, for 5 years.
Now, the Fowler House, was that the octagonal house?
Excuse me?
Was that an octagonal house?
It was the man that invented the octagonal house, but
then they had taken the house apart
on Route 9. Okay. I realized that this was named after him, but I did attend.
Okay.
And it was very, very interesting.
So somebody else got their hand up there. I feel like the schoolmaster, you know. And any questions? Yeah. Now, this is Vern Jackson. Vern, and I'm going to have Sandra, his wife, come up and talk in a minute as well.
Okay, I had graduated from the Shenandoah School, and that building is still existing and people live in it. I remember one thing that didn't happen was a year or so before I went there. The story was I'm not going to mention the teacher's name because she used to go out and sit in her car at lunchtime and, you know, kind of take a little snooze, take her alarm clock with her and wake her up. And one of the girls decided that maybe they weren't going to have her come in, so she reached in while she was sleeping and turned the clock off. And just kept on playing, and they had a long afternoon. But I walked to school too. He used to walk across, through the snow,
Yeah.
I remember one day Mark and I were running to school. We were a little bit late going to school. And we had that long driveway to go up, remember? And we crossed tracks of each other. And down I went.
It wasn't an accident.
I got another story about
it. Okay, Bud.
The two brothers, they lived there on Shenandoah Road, decided they were going to skip school that day. So they used to walk, and the teacher would pick them up, and they saw the teacher coming, and they hid down beside the road. And then they went home and went to the chicken house, you know. Stayed there for a while, and of course, nobody had watches then. So they figured, well, it must be lunchtime. So they ate their lunch, and they waited around a while, and figured, well, you know, it's got to be time for school to be over. So they went walking home, you know, and they walked in the house about 11 o'clock. Their father said, what are you doing here? He said, well, then they had to tell what they did, so he dropped them right off to school.
One good story that Wilson Donahue told before he passed away, and we have it on a CD or a DVD, it's video, and it's also on our website, and we do have a website now, eastfishkillhistoricalsociety.org. No spaces in between, courtesy of Fred Robbins. But there was one story that I thought was very amusing that Wilson told, and that was that they used to have a spelling bee contest in the school district in East Fishkill, and the best speller from each school would go to a competition, and the competition used to be in the big school, which was just on Beekman Road. And Wilson Donahue went to this school at the other end of Beekman Road, and he said that he was thinking it was a Saturday morning, the competition. And he was sitting there waiting for his friend Willie Pitcher to come along. And he thought, you know, this doesn't seem right. School should be Monday to Friday. You shouldn't have to go to school on Saturday. So he waited then when Willie came along. He said to Willie, you know, we're supposed to go to this spelling bee contest, but he said, you know, we shouldn't have to go to school. We shouldn't have to give up our Saturday. So they sat there, these two kids, and you could visualize them sitting on a big stone, scratching their heads and making up excuses. So in the end they said, oh, darn it, we'll go fishing. So off they went fishing. When they went to school the next Monday morning, the teacher asked them, how do you get on in the spelling bee? And they then had to admit that they didn't go. I said, you know, what punishment did you get for that? He said, we didn't get any. So I was surprised at that. But I did find in the attic of the schoolhouse here an old carriage driving whip which had the end broken off. And I reckon the kids had hidden that up there sometime in the past. Sandra, would you like to come up? Thanks. She will correct you on what I told you about the Shenandoah Corners School. Sandra's the teacher there.
Can I speak to you?
Yes, you are.
Now, our school is, our church has a private school, and we have a one-room school. We do kindergarten through 12th grade, and it's a small number of students, limited to our church membership, but we do a lot of what used to be done. It's a different way of teaching, but the students have done well. We've just completed our 30th year, and we have most of our students go on to college and do well. So if anybody's interested in how it works, I can explain it, but I'm not going to do that now. So we're in on Shenandoah Road, and Bethel Christian Academy.
Is it time for closing remarks, Malcolm?
I think so.
We have here Carolyn Plage, who is our new town historian, and Carolyn is very much interested in getting some reflections on those of you who may have attended one-room schoolhouses. So if those of you who fall in that category would be kind enough to come and see her, she would like to record your names and perhaps have a subsequent conversation with you. To say a couple of things in closing, once again, our thanks to the Hudson Valley Council band. Thank you all for being here. This was important to us and I think important to the community. There will be strawberry shortcake served shortly. And so we encourage you all to stay. In final thoughts here,
like many organizations, we are anxious to have new members. Despite the fact that this is a fantastic property, one of the best small town historical society facilities I know of, and it's really quite remarkable. We do invite you to tour it and look at what we have in the carriage barn, the sleighs and carriages, in the house that is furnished with period furniture, and of course in the schoolhouse. We also have some brochures back on the refreshment table there, and we would encourage you to pick one up. It contains also an application, and so we would encourage you to fill out an application and become a member. We operate on a limited budget, and membership is one of the ways that we survive. So please do consider that, and we do welcome your membership. To conclude today, before we open the schoolhouse, we have Mildred Pearson here, a dear soul who's been a member of this community for a long time, and she is going to do our ribbon cutting today. So I'm going to ask Mildred to come up, and she'll...
She was a student in 1926,
do I remember?
I started in 1922
was her beginning experience in schoolhouse number 9, and her family also attended besides her brothers, and so she has nostalgic memories, and she also donated one of the flags that you'll see displayed in the schoolhouse.
And was a very constant visitor to us when we were taking the schoolhouse down to make sure that we did it carefully.